All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 20. Moving right along. Chapter 20. All right, now we have been looking at this book based on the outline that was given in chapter 1. All right, in chapter 1 and in verse 19, the Bible says here, write the things which thou hast seen, that's past tense, things that thou hast seen, that's chapter 1. All right, they were the things that John saw at that moment when on Patmos, when the Lord came and revealed to him this vision, this revelation. All right, so that's the first point of the book, chapter 1. And then he said, write the things which are. All right, so that's present tense. Right now, we are in the period of the things that are. That's the church age. And that's chapter 2 and chapter 3. All right, so we are now in the church age. And so that's present tense. All right, so no matter when in the time of the church, from Pentecost forward to tonight, that's present tense so far as the Bible is concerned. All right, so the things which thou hast seen, past tense, things which are, present tense, that's now, and the things which shall be hereafter. All right, now the things which shall be hereafter start in chapter 4. And they continue on throughout the rest of the book. And that's where we've gotten to as we go through the outline that was given here. All right, so chapter 4 through chapter 22 is the things which shall be hereafter. And in chapter 4, you have the trumpet sounding, and it said, come up hither. All right, so come up hither. That's a picture of the rapture of the church. And that is the next prophetic thing to happen on God's calendar. All right, so remember the little 5R outline. The first thing that is on God's calendar is the rapture. And that can happen at any moment. There is absolutely nothing that is preventing the rapture from happening. It could happen right now. And I'm good with that if it does. And I know you are as well. I've had about all the fun I can have. All right? So if you look at that first verse in chapter 4, he said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be, what's the next word? Anybody remember? Hereafter. All right, so that's the same language as what he says in verse 19 in the third point. He said, and the things which shall be hereafter. And so that's what we have been studying, is the things that shall be hereafter. And that is chapter 4, all the way through the chapter 22 to the end of the book. All right, now, that little 5R outline. The first is rapture, and that's chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Second R is ruin. That's a 7-year tribulation period. Ruin. And the judgment of the Lord is going to be so strong and so mighty and so powerful that it is going to be a time of ruin all over the planet. All right, so you've got the rapture, and then you've got ruin. The ruin period is described for us in chapter 6 through chapter 18. Chapter 6 through chapter 18. All right? Then you have the return. And the return is what we have been looking at for the last several weeks, and that's found in chapter 19. And if you look at verse 11, you see the details of this. John said he saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So when he comes at the return, it is with judgment, it is with vengeance, it is to fight, it is to make war, and you'll look, please, at verse 12. It says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He got those crowns from us, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. All right, and verse 14, the armies which were in heaven, that's us. We come with him when he comes back at his second coming, at the return. All right, remember, he came the first time 2,000 years ago as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But he's coming the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah with judgment in his hand. And it is here where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be fought. And that's what is being described in verse 11 down through verse, down through verse 18. All right, all of that is a description of the Battle of Armageddon and the after effects of that battle. And the battle is going to be a time of death and destruction for the world. The beast, the Antichrist, and the armies that he has put together are going to be annihilated. Basically, they're going to be just emaciated when he comes. All right, now that brings us to the next R, and that's what we are going to start tonight. The next R is reign, R-E-I-G-N, the reign of Christ. That is the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And the millennium is found, of course, all the way through the Old Testament, but it is described here for us in chapter 20, all right? So notice, if you will, notice in verse 1. Let's just read a few verses here, and you will notice in verse 1, after chapter 19, after it's finished, all right, you have, and all fowls were filled with their flesh, period. It says, and. You see that? It says, and. So in other words, it is a continuing record of the actual events that are happening. It is just a continuation of what has been happening. You had all this death and destruction at the Battle of Armageddon at the Valley of Megiddo, on the plain of Esdraelon, and you've got this battle beyond battles. The Islamists refer to it as the mother of all battles that's coming. The mother of all battles. Now, if anything is in that culture, if anything is the mother of something, that means it's out there. It's the biggest of the big. All right? Right, guys? I mean, you remember when Saddam Hussein threatened the first Bush? He said, you better not come over here. If you come over here, there's going to be the mother of all battles. Well, there was the mother of all battles, but it didn't work out good for him. All right. And so that's the phrase that they use. And that's what's going to happen in chapter 19. But then it says, and so, in other words, the next thing that John saw, look at verse 1. John saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. All right, so there was an angel that came out of heaven. And remember now, according to chapter 1, and I think it's verse 20, the Lord Jesus now has the keys. Okay? And as I have explained to you when we were back there, if you have the keys, you have the control. Right? All right, so right here is a key to my office. And it's locked. And there's a reason it's locked, because I've got two boxes of candy in there, and I don't want any of you all going in there and getting it. So I locked the door. All right? So three little giggling girls came in my office after school tonight, this afternoon, and I said, what are you all giggling about? We want candy. I said, all right. So I put the box down, and they filled pockets and coat pockets and inside pockets. I mean, it was unreal. But anyway, if your children are bouncing off the wall, it's their fault, not mine, not mine. I didn't make them take it, all right? But anyway, if you have the keys, you have the control. And so now here comes this angel out of heaven after the battle of Armageddon. And this angel has the key of the bottomless pit. So right now, that bottomless pit is locked. Okay, it's locked. You say, well, what is that? Well, what is it? You tell me what it is. I don't know. I've never seen it. I just know it says it's a bottomless pit. All right? Is it Hades, the realm of the dead? Is it the lake of fire? Is it hell itself? What is it? All right? What is it? Well, let's read on. It says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. All right, so what do we learn? First thing we see here is this angel comes down out of heaven, and he has a chain in his hand. And what's he do with that chain? Well, he binds the devil, all right, Satan, the dragon, if you will, and cast him into the bottomless pit. And I like this next phrase. It says, and shut him up. Amen. I mean, it's about time, don't you think? He done mouthed off so much. Let's just see him silenced. I think the world will be a whole lot better off. And then it says, after he was cast into the pit, that a seal, that they set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. All right, now, I saw thrones. Well, those thrones are here. They're on the earth. And he said that those that sat upon them, judgment was given unto them. Folks, do you not remember that those of us who are saved, the Bible says that we're going to rule and reign with him. All right, so he reigns in Jerusalem. He reigns on the throne of David. But you and I are going to rule with him, reign with him. And it's not going to do you any good to ask for Westminster. I already got dibs on that. All right? I'm going to fix these stoplights out here. That's what I'm going to do. You know, you pull out of the parking lot, you got to stop at each one of them. Each one of them. And I'm going to fix that when I become mayor of Westminster, all right, during the millennium. And so the thrones are where we rule and reign. And then he said, I saw the souls of them that were, what's the next word? Beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, where were they beheaded? When were they beheaded? Well, during the tribulation period, during the ruin period. And we'll see that in just a moment as well. For the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, the Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished, period. This is the first resurrection. All right, now let me say it this way. This is the completion. The completion. The final part to the first resurrection. Now, folks, there are two resurrections. You remember that? Paul said there's the resurrection of the what? Just, and the resurrection of the unjust. All right, very good. So there's two resurrections. Saved people, unsaved people. All right, so this, verse 5 says, is the first resurrection. And what the tense of the verb here is that this is the fulfillment or the closure to the first resurrection. Now, that's important. And we're going to stop right there because I promise you we won't get any further than that. We might not even get to that. But this chapter takes us from the return of Christ, the second coming, takes us from the return and the battle of Armageddon that we read about in chapter 19, and then it takes us from the time all of that is over and the millennial reign of Christ begins, okay? And it's a 1,000-year period that is covered in 15 short verses. So needless to say, not everything that will happen during the millennial reign is recorded in this chapter. There's no way you could do it. It is recorded, however, back here in your Old Testament. And we will look at some of those as we and the description of how it's going to be as we continue on through the chapter. Now, again, it is not by any means a complete record of all the events of the millennium. There are so many other passages in the Old Testament and in the New Testament which we can put together and see what the characteristics of the millennium are going to be. This chapter simply outlines some of the major highlights of that 1,000-year period. All right, now go back to verse 1, 2, and 3. And I want you to see, first of all, from this chapter, the imprisonment of the dragon. The imprisonment of the dragon. Now, in chapter 19 and verse 20, notice what 19:20 says. Now, remember, the Lord has already appeared in verse 11, 12, 13, and so on. And now, the battle has been fought, and then look at verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. All right, so the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the false prophet, okay, were cast into the bottomless pit. All right, look at your Bible. Lake of fire, I'm sorry, verse 20, look at it. Before him which were deceived, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And these both, so you got the beast and you got the false prophet, both of them were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Ouch. Okay? Ouch. Now, let me just stop right here and tell you, they don't ever get out. When you go to the lake of fire, when you end up in the lake of fire, that's it. You're done. All right? To put it in teenage language, you're toast. Literally. All right? It's sad, but nonetheless, it's the truth. Okay? Those who are not saved are eventually going to end up in that place. All right? Look at chapter 20 and verse 11. It says, at the end of the millennium now, at the end of this 1,000-year period, John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So God is on that throne. And the books were open. Look here. The books. All 66 of them. The Bible. The books of the Bible were opened, because that is going to be the foundation upon which we are judged. What does the book say? Okay? And he said, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead in Christ were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And watch this now. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the completion. The same verb usage is here that is that was in verse in the other verse that I read to you. All right, so the same usage of the word, but he said this is the fulfillment, the completion, the end of the second death. Now, what's the first death? That's a physical death, exactly. What's the second death? That's a spiritual death. Isn't it neat that when you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Lord Jesus tells us that he gives unto us eternal life, okay? So you've got life and you've got death. That's your choice. You choose one or the other. Okay, so this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's it, folks. That's it. All right? These people are not mentioned again in the book. They're not mentioned again. That is their end. They go into the lake of fire to be judged for all eternity for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, if you were the devil, wouldn't you deceive and try to trick and do all you could to get unsaved people to stay unsaved? Would you not tempt them with religion? Huh? Do this, do that, and all will be fine? Sure you would. Sure you would. And so death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. All right, now, I want you to notice a description of the devil's titles, of Satan's titles. All right, if you will look back at verse 2, here's what John heard. It says in verse 2 that he laid hold, John said he laid hold, that angel laid hold on the dragon and that old serpent. Okay, so he is called, number one, a dragon. Number two, an old serpent. Remember, the serpent was in the beginning here. You remember that? All the way back here in Genesis. So now when he's referred to, he's not called an old serpent over here in Genesis. All right, but he's called an old serpent here in Revelation. I think that's kind of interesting. But anyway, it says a dragon, old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan. So four names are given here. Four names that describe the person and the nature of of Satan, of the devil. All right, dragon. Dragon. As a dragon, he is the persecutor of Christ and of our Lord's people, us. Go back to chapter 12 for just a moment. You'll remember in chapter 12, we have this parenthetical chapter. And in chapter 12, verse 17, the Bible says, "And the dragon was wroth." Notice that. "The dragon was wroth." Wroth means angry. All right. "The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed." So the remnant of the woman is Israel. The remnant of her seed are the descendants of Abraham, the people of the Jews. All right. So John said in this vision that he saw a great wonder in heaven, and this is what he saw. And he said, "I saw the dragon, and he was angry, he went to make war with Israel. He went to persecute the people of God, the remnant that was left, and which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." So he's the dragon, the persecutor of the Lord's people. Then, secondly, he is the old serpent. The old serpent. This is the same old serpent who tempted Eve and had our first parents led into sin, which plunged the entire human race into sin. It was that serpent that lied, and the hiss was nothing but a lie. That's all it was. The serpent's hiss was nothing but a lie. But Eve and Adam fell for the lie, and the end result was we're all sinners. We come into this world with a sin nature because of that old serpent that tempted Eve and Adam way back in the Garden of Eden. Then thirdly, he says the devil. The devil. Now, that word's interesting. That word means accuser. And that's what Satan is. He is the accuser of the brethren. You remember in the first chapter of Job, and the Bible says that the devil went to God in heaven and said to him, you say, well, I didn't think the devil could go to heaven. I didn't think he was allowed there. No, he can't dwell there. He can't stay there. All right? He goes there. Why? To accuse you and me. You know? He went up to God and he said that Job fella. You know, everybody's talking about what a good guy he is. Well, why don't you let me have a crack at him and I'll show you that he's not as good as you think he is. And God said, all right, you can do it, but you can't take his life. And so the battle was on, wasn't it? The battle was on. But that is the devil being the accuser of the brethren. And he never stops. He is the accuser. He is the slanderer. In 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 8, we learn that the devil sinneth from the beginning. All right, that's the word John uses, the words. He sinneth from the beginning. And then John said, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. All right, so that's why the Lord Jesus came. The Lord Jesus came to destroy what the devil, the liar, the accuser, the slanderer did to mankind. All the way back in the beginning. Do you understand that? And now here's John, all these many years later, 4,000 years later, after the garden, here's John telling us that the devil was sinneth from the beginning. From the beginning of what? From the beginning of man. The beginning of mankind. And then John said, for this purpose. What purpose? For the purpose that the devil lied and slandered God and persuaded Adam and Eve to disobey God. And he tricked them into doing it by misquoting Scripture. And by the way, the devil's good at that. And folks, that's one reason why you have over 450 perversions of the Bible today. Because he's really good at it. The devil shows up three times in the Bible and speaks. Three times. All right? And all three times he does the same thing. He questions the Word of God. All right? He did that with Eve, remember? Oh, ye shall not surely die. That was the devil right there trying to air condition hell. That's what he was doing, trying to air condition hell right there. Ye shall not surely die. Wait a minute. God said, yes, you will. Don't sin against me. In the day that thou sinnest, in the day that thou doest it, dying physically, thou shalt surely die spiritually. And that's what the devil, it was the devil that did that. It was the devil that did that. Second time is in the book of Job that I told you about a moment ago. And what's he doing? Slandering, accusing, lying. It's the devil. All right, and then the third time was when the Lord Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness. And what did he do there? Misquoted scripture. Twisting the Bible to make it say what he wanted it to say instead of what the Holy Spirit said. All right? So, the devil, that's a powerful name that fits him to a T, isn't it? And then you have the fourth, the last. Look at the end, toward the end of verse 2. So you've got the dragon, you've got that old serpent, you've got the devil, and then fourthly, Satan. Now, Satan's an interesting word. It means adversary. Adversary. All right? The devil is our adversary. Do you remember that this prince of darkness, the devil, has tried every means possible to destroy the work of the Lord. He's an adversary to the Lord. He's an adversary to you and to me. He is our adversary from every possible direction. And Peter said it this way. He said, your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know what that means? That means that the devil just walks up and down the corridors of this earth, just looking for somebody to ruin their testimony, to ruin their life. That's our adversary. You know, if somebody is an adversary, they're full of hate. They're full of hate. Folks, the Lord wants us to love one another. But an adversary does not love. He hates. And certainly, that's a description of the devil. Now, he has been identified by these names before. Go back once more to chapter 12. And look at verse 9. All right, look at verse 9. And in verse 9, we read these words. Same thing. And the great dragon was cast out, comma, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. The whole world. That's sad, isn't it? And his angels were cast out with him. So there is the description of all those names once again. All right, so John is very careful to make sure that all of us understand who this person that is going to be bound and cast into the bottomless pit and then loosed, let go at the end for a season, all right? Wants to make sure we know who this one is. Now, is he bound today? No, he's not. No, he's not. But he will be. I can't wait for that day. I mean, no longer free to go walking across the earth and seeking those that he can destroy. And folks, six times in verse 2 through verse 7, we are told that it was for 1,000 years. No more during that millennial reign, no more is Satan, the devil, the beast, or the serpent and the what's the last one? The dragon no longer is he the God of this world. Now, folks, right now he is the God of this world. Right now he is. And that's sad. I mean, doing all these duties that his names that are given describe of him, right now, it's pretty obvious that he is the God of this world. But the day is coming when he'll no longer be the God of this world. And our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is going to sit down upon the throne of David and rule and reign for 1,000 years. No more is he and his demons ruling and reigning over the affairs of men. The Bible here is clear that we are going to rule and reign with him. So this is a description of the devil. This is who he is, folks. It's no wonder that this angel is going to bound him and cast him into that bottomless pit. It's no wonder. And our Lord is going to reign supreme. All right. Look, please, at verse 3. Let's look at where he's going to be sent. All right. Verse 3 says, and cast him into the bottomless pit. Now, this is a word that is difficult. It's very difficult. You'll get a kabillion different opinions if you go to research and study this word. The word that is used here is almost a transliteration. Okay, it's almost a transliteration from Greek into English. It is translated sometimes abyss, A-B-Y-S-S, abyss. Okay, the Greek word is abusos. So it's almost a transliteration. Now, what does it mean? Well, what it means is without depth. Or in other words, bottomless, without depth. All right, now, the devil is going to be cast into that abyss, into that bottomless pit. I think that Hades, which is the Greek word that is translated simply hell in your New Testament. The word is Hades, and that word means the realm of the dead. The realm of the dead. In other words, there's a lot of dead there. Okay? A lot of death there. Now, I think that Hades is at the center of the earth. And the reason I say that is because every time hell or the bottomless pit or any of the other words that translate hell, every time those words are mentioned, it's going down. Now, where, when you're on the earth, where, if you go down, you have to go into the earth, don't you? Okay? And so I think that Hades is in the realm of the dead, in the center of the earth. Inside Hades, there are several compartments. There are several compartments. There is a place that has a Greek word, Tartarus, And that word means, it has the idea of, well, it's translated hell, all right? And that is the place where fallen angels are being kept in reserve. They're being kept in store, the Bible says. You can read about that in 1 Peter. All right, so there's that place. There is the lake of fire. The lake of fire. There is the bottomless pit. There is hell itself. Everybody who has died, lost their soul, goes to hell. All right? There is no paradise. There is no holding place anymore. All right? There is no purgatory. That's not anywhere in the Bible. The Lord Jesus is your purgatory. He purged your sins. All right? You don't go to a holding tank and then they milk your family until they get, you know, every dime they can get to pray you out. That's foolishness. Sit still. But you know it's true, don't you? All right. Especially all you ex-Catholics. All right, so there's nobody in the lake of fire. Hell, psalmist said, hath enlarged itself. Hell just gets bigger and bigger. Hell just gets bigger and bigger. You know, I heard a preacher say, oh my goodness, I heard a preacher say one time that's why you've got all these volcanoes going off, because hell's getting so fat down there, it's got to spew it somewhere. That's his theory. That's not Bible. All right? But the day is coming, folks, when the dragon, the devil, the old serpent, Satan, is going to be bound and thrown into this bottomless pit. Now, if it's at the center of the earth, think about it. If it's at the center of the earth, and the word literally means without depth. If it's at the center of the earth, you can't go. It's just like you're in a constant state of falling. Where do you go? It's just a round center. And you're just in a continuous state of falling. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? I mean, you're always wondering, when am I going to hit the ground? Well, you're not. You won't. But that would be, I mean, then you put on top of that the fire. And so here the devil will be bound for 1,000 years while us, and the Lord Jesus, all of us, and the Lord Jesus rule for 1,000 years. All right? Time's up. All right, we'll pick it up there with verse 4 next week. All right? Folks, I'm so anxious for all this to begin, aren't you? I'm just so anxious. I want to... You know, I love going to Israel, just absolutely love it. There is nothing like, you know, that plane coming in and seeing Tel Aviv and seeing the mountains of Galilee and, you know, the Mediterranean. There's just nothing like it. There's nothing like getting in that bus and going up that mountain to Jerusalem. There's nothing like it. There's a feeling that you won't get anywhere else. It's amazing. And one of these days, we're just going to be able to say, I think I'll go over for a few days. And just go. You know, no passport, no visa, no Homeland Security giving you the evil eye. No vaccine checks. Nope. So, even so come, Lord Jesus. All right. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you'll bless this to our hearts. Give us understanding of what we have heard this evening. And Father, I just pray you'll give us faith to realize that all that's described here is going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. Just as sure as we're sitting here tonight, it's going to happen. And so I pray that you'll help us to have complete faith in you and the promise and the heaven that awaits us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.